Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. Job is one of that division of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament, the Tanakh division, divided into the Law, the Prophets, and the other writings, sometimes called the Psalms, generally speaking, and sometimes called the Wisdom Literature. And Job is in the midst of those, before the book of Psalms. And Job is a book, I think largely we could say, about wisdom. And as we look at this chapter from the middle of the book of Job, this is a chapter about wisdom in a book about wisdom and how to seek it and how to find it. And so, if you would give ear to the word of God, I will read Job 28. Surely there is a mine for silver, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness, and searches every recess, for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people, in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men, they swing to and fro. As for the earth, from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint, he overturns the mountains at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden he brings forth to light. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor it is found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me." And the sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where, then, does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, "We have heard a report about it with our ears." God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind, and apportion the waters by measure, when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it, indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Thus far the reading of God's word. Well, the book of Job is a book that when we read it, it causes us to search into our hearts and ask deep and penetrating questions, doesn't it? As we consider the range of topics of suffering and the power of God. And this chapter causes us to ask this question: what is it that you are looking for in life? What are you working after? What are you striving for? What are you trying to get or achieve or accomplish? And as Job begins this discourse on wisdom, he begins by discussing the efforts and the toil of mankind to obtain that which is valuable in this life. And as we consider, what is it that we value? What is it that we strive for? Going to cause us to ask the question, have we sought that which is of ultimate and eternal value. And how hard that is to obtain. Well, let's consider mankind's toil after that which is valuable. In verse 1, surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Silver doesn't grow out of the ground like the way that food or grass or trees do. There's a mine for silver, Job tells us. A mine is something which is deep underground. You have to go looking for it. It doesn't just pop up, generally speaking. And then it has to be refined, like gold. Iron, likewise, is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. You can't just go into a mine and pull out, generally speaking, chunks of silver or gold. It's wound up in the rock. It must be crushed and melted down, smelted to get the pure metal out. And only then, once you've mined it and smelted it and got it, that you can use it to make all sorts of things. The cars that we drive, the metal in them, the axle and the engine and whatnot, it had to be mined and melted down. If you wear a gold wedding ring or have a gold watch or a gold necklace, it didn't just pop up out of the earth. It had to be sought out in the darkness and gloom of the earth. And then it had to be refined and worked. Even the electrical wires and the plumbing in some old houses, the copper pipes, had to be found, had to be sought out in a mine. And Job here is emphasizing the difficulty and the danger of finding these commodities that are the backbone, as it were, in some ways, of our everyday life. We might not even think about the fact that the car that you drive, that didn't just come from nowhere. That iron ore probably came from a mine, perhaps on the other side of the world. And deep underground, it had to be searched out so that you could drive here this morning. Job continues in verse 3, man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. Mining is not only a difficult, in some ways, operation, it's also very dangerous. Think about going deep underground to obtain these ores so that we can have cars and fans and clocks and all sorts of things. But it's dangerous. But nevertheless, people go after these things. People go to the other side of the world to find gold into the mountains, as it were. And look, in verse 4, he breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They swing to and fro. You can picture a mine shaft going deep into the earth. It's not in a city. It's in the middle of the wilderness. And there, perhaps, you can picture a miner in Job's day climbing down a rope ladder, perhaps thousands of feet above where his landing point is, swinging to and fro in the air just to get down so that he can dig up some more ore to provide gold and silver and iron and copper and all sorts of other things. Even today, mining is still difficult and dangerous. The deepest gold mine in South Africa goes 2 miles underneath the surface of the earth, straight down, so they can dig up gold. And there also we find the precious stones. As for the earth, Job says, from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the sources of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. The wild animals don't go searching after gold and silver, iron or copper. They don't need them. They don't want them. It's only mankind, created in the image of God, that goes digging for these things far below where any other animal would go. No birds, no lions. They don't go down there. They don't need to. But mankind searches after these things. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. Why would people go to this extent? Go to the ends of the earth, to the wilderness, far away from society, and dig down thousands of feet underground, facing death, overturning the roots of the mountains. And if you've ever seen mining equipment, modern-day mining equipment, you can picture what that would look like, the giant tunnel-boring machines, you know, 12, 15, 20 feet wide with sharp teeth digging into the earth. You don't do this just for the fun of it. It's too costly. It's too dangerous. Nevertheless, we search these things out. People go in search of these things because they ascribe to it value. Whether it's the value of having steel to make buildings, make cars, or whether it's gold and silver, sapphires and rubies, the things of luxury and of great worth in this world today. Now, none of us, as far as I know, work in a mine or are a miner. But we too, in this life, pursue and strive. We may not be the one climbing down the mine shaft to search for gold, but we work and we toil so that we can buy perhaps a gold watch or a gold ring, so that we can buy a car. We use gold and audio connections for highest quality sound. We mine out, the people mine out steel and chrome for cars. And we search for these things. We seek them out. We search for that which is valuable. We seek relationships, careers, even academic degrees. We pursue what we perceive to be of value. And if we really want something, like these miners really want gold ore, we work for it. We work hard. We work late hours. We get up early. We strive for it and hunger for it. And Job wants us to sit down and ask this question. What are you pursuing? What would you climb thousands of feet down a mine shaft to get or obtain or to have? What would you spend your energy and your time trying to achieve or get? And once we've thought about that, then we have another question. Is that thing which we pursue, that thing which we strive for, is it something of true and eternal value? Are we searching and striving for something of true and eternal value? Well, you might ask, well, what is of true and eternal value? The gold and silver, the sapphires, the iron, the copper, all these things we know, they corrode, they rust. They're stolen. We can't take it with us. So what is of eternal value? Well, here we see the contrast in verse 12. Job, as he's explained the extent to which mankind searches for all these things, the danger that they'll go through to find the gold ore, and then he contrasts with this. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Somebody who would risk their life away from mankind to find gold ore, would they do that to find wisdom? Well, Job says, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Wisdom, Job says, is far more valuable than any of these other things. You can have all the gold in the world, but you can't buy wisdom with it. It's far more valuable. You can't weigh out silver to pay for it. And all of the precious stones, and think of the menagerie of color here, onyx, sapphire, gold, crystal, topaz, quartz, coral, rubies, all these things. Imagine the light flickering off the colors of a dozen gemstones. And Job says, wisdom is worth far more than all these things. You cannot buy wisdom if you had everything in the entire earth. It is not enough. Now, we don't deal in some of these things the way that they would have perhaps more in Job's day. We don't use gold or silver money anymore. Even our paper money, it can't be traded for gold or silver these days. But we have other commodities, don't we? Well, let's look at it this way. You can't trade your new iPhone for wisdom. You can't trade a new Tesla for wisdom. You can't even buy it with Bitcoin. It's that valuable and that costly. And Job wants you to ask, have you considered pursuing that which is of ultimate value? Are you striving for wisdom? Well, Job also tells us here that not only is wisdom of far greater value than anything else in the world, but it is harder to obtain than anything else. Of course, this makes sense, doesn't it? That which is easy to obtain does not cost very much. You can go dig soil up right from the surface of the earth. Dirt is not very expensive. Gold ore that takes so much effort and labor and cost to get down to it and refine it is much more expensive than soil. And as a correlation to that, wisdom is so much more valuable and is also so much more unobtainable. In fact, Job says, you can't find it in this world. Where can it be found? It is not found in the land of the living. It is not found in the deep, not in the depths of the earth. You can't mine it out. You could dig down miles with the best mining equipment and you won't find wisdom. You could dive to the depths of the sea and you will not find wisdom there. You can't find it in the marketplace. You can't buy it. You can't trade anything for it. It's hidden from the eyes of all living. It's concealed from the birds of the air. It's neither down in the earth or in the ocean. It's not up in the heavens. It's not found in the land of the living. Death and destruction say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. They don't have it either. People of God, if you are seeking for wisdom, where are you looking? The smartest, the richest, the most powerful people in this world cannot give you wisdom. And they generally don't have it. The physicist that studies the farthest stars and planets will not find wisdom there. The marine biologist that scours the depths of the ocean does not have it. All of the philosophers and sages of the world, and all the ink that's spilled, or these days, printed, typed, they don't have wisdom. You won't find it there. You won't find it on the internet. You can't just log in and download wisdom, or on the street, or even at the edge of the world. You could climb the highest mountain peaks. It's not found in the land of the living, Job says. You can't mine it out of the ground. And at this point, you might say, well, what's the point of asking, are we seeking wisdom, if it's so unobtainable, if we can't get to it? Should we just give up? Should we simply seek after the fancy things, the shiny things in this life, the shiny distractions, the gold and silver, and all the other things that the world has to offer, if we can't get wisdom? And here Job tells us, there is one who has wisdom. There is one who knows where to find it. In verse 23, God understands its way, and he knows its place. And thankfully, he is the one who says, if you lack wisdom, ask. People of God, God knows wisdom. He understands its way. He knows its place. Wisdom is, in a sense, not outside of God. For God, who created the world, also, as it were, searched out wisdom. He prepared it. It says, he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. Here we speak of God's omniscience. He knows all things. Even the most knowledgeable human being in the world. Even if you were to take the biggest library and all the knowledge that it contains is nothing, a drop in the bucket. But God, the one who created all things and who governs all things in his providence, he knows all things. And he knows where wisdom can be found. He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. But more than just his omniscience, to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure, when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. This is speaking here of God's creative power. Perhaps we think about creation as that sort of like if you were to take some Play-Doh and you have some Play-Doh and you make some different shapes out of it. Perhaps sometimes we think about God's creation that way, but it isn't really like that at all, is it? God didn't simply take something and make different shapes out of it. He didn't simply take what he had to work with and turn it into something. God had to create all things. God had to create the space-time continuum in which we live and exist. God had to create the laws of physics. God didn't simply make something in the sandbox that was already there. God made the sandbox itself. He created the laws of physics and of science and of gravity and all these things. Here, he is the one who established a weight for the wind. He apportioned the waters by measure. He's the one who defined how water would act and how air would flow. He made a law for the rain. He didn't simply take water and make rain out of it. He decided how rain would work and how water would work. A path for the thunderbolt. He is behind all these things. And it was then he saw wisdom and declared it. He spoke it forth. He prepared it. He searched it out in the sense of this Hebrew verb, searching it out. It's not implying here that he went and found it, like it was there and he went and found it, but he traced forth all the details and all the distinctions to wisdom. Well, people of God, you can't find wisdom in the land of the living, but you can seek it from your heavenly Father. For he is the one who said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, perhaps you might say, well, if that's all that wisdom is, the fear of the Lord, then who says you can't find that in the land of the living? Why can't you find the fear of the Lord in the land of the living? Let's understand truly the fear of the Lord. What it is, this wisdom of God. How we can truly know it. We can perhaps read about true wisdom. But how can we really obtain it for ourselves? Well, what is this wisdom? I think Paul has quite a bit to say about this wisdom, the wisdom of God. I'll read here from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2. He says this, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Does this sound like something that Job might be talking about? That wisdom which God prepared at the creation of the world? Wisdom which God ordained, Paul says, before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. And Paul has already said in the previous chapter that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, was not created or prepared. That's not what he's saying. Nevertheless, that he is the wisdom of God. And he goes on to say, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And finally, Paul says in Colossians, of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When Job says here, as well as said in the Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not to take that as some merely external thing, some attitude, that if you have this attitude of fear, or if you simply turn your feet away from evil, and that's all that it is, an action, that you have wisdom, you have understanding. Job is speaking here of having and knowing Christ. If you want to have wisdom, then seek for Christ, and you will find it. That's why you can't find this wisdom anywhere else. You could read about wisdom, so-called, on the internet, or talk to someone, but unless you know Christ, you cannot truly have wisdom. You could learn all there is about this or that or the other thing. You could read about Christ. You could read about wisdom. But unless you know him, and unless he knows you, unless you have, by the Holy Spirit, a union with him, and a communion, unless your life is hidden with Christ and God, then you are cut off from the source of wisdom. You might say, is that what Job was talking about? Job is the one who says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Job is the one who knew Christ, who knew wisdom. People of God, in this life, we, in some sense, have to pursue different things. We have jobs that we work at. We strive for things. But are we striving with all our effort and through all these other things, overall, to know and to glorify the Lord Jesus? Young people, particularly, as you face the future, perhaps you're in school and thinking about, what am I going to do with my life? Don't forget to pursue that which is of ultimate and eternal value. Don't get caught up in the pursuit of all these other things for their own sake. But above all, pursue Christ. Remember, the word says, does anyone lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. Does this wisdom come apart from Christ? No, it is only through knowledge of him. I think that's why Paul says that if the rulers of this age had known wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they rejected wisdom. They crucified wisdom. They turned away. It is only through Christ and him crucified that we learn true wisdom. For he has become for us wisdom from God. Don't forget, the word says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There are many things that people strive for in this life, as we've said, and some of these things we must strive for. We must work. We must get things. We need cars so that we can drive to church and do all these other things. But don't forget to let your main seeking in life to be to glorify God and enjoy him forever to know him as you know Christ. And so, the question comes, what are you ultimately seeking for in this life? What are you striving for? People of God, seek Christ, and you will find him. You will find wisdom. You will find all that is truly and eternally valuable. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have given us Christ. You have given us the Word. You have given us the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would direct our hearts, that we would not be caught up in the pursuit of all these other things. Pray that for all of us, you would help us not to be distracted, that we would set our eyes on Christ, that we would seek him first and foremost, that all the other pursuits in our lives would be within direction as of seeking to glorify and love you and know you more. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us access to this wisdom. We know that you have promised to bring it to completion in our lives. As we go about our lives, even this week, turn our hearts to you. May we be seeking wisdom with every step and every decision. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.